Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Prime time on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for joining us on Prime Time. Bharati Jagdish and Timothy Go with you today. Now, as technology evolves, we all have noticed the ever-changing digital and media landscapes, right? The idea of what sells and how brands sell it has also seen a sea change, hasn't it?
Yeah, what's relevant today could be obsolete tomorrow. Maybe
I would say in the next minute.
Okay, you're more optimistic than me.
In the next minute, it's over. Now, if the past few years have taught us anything, I think it's that the digital world knows barely any boundaries.
And as technology continues to evolve faster and with full force, the future of marketing after COVID-19 is evolving as well. The needs and expectations of consumers are continuing to shift.
Prashant Kumar joins us today. He's the founder and senior partner at Entropia, part of Accenture Interactive. And he's also the author of a new book on the future of marketing. It's called Made in Future. It delves into the principles and applications of marketing strategy in the new age. So if you own a business or work for one, I'm sure all of this will be very relevant to you. Thanks for joining us today, Prashant.
Thank you.
Now, first of all, Made in Future, a story of marketing, media and content for our times. It's your debut book and it's all about modern day marketing. I understand it's an effort to bridge old school marketing principles and new consumer and media behaviors. First of all, though, explain the nature of the disconnect that you're observing between the two.
So if you look at where marketing strategy lives today and what's actually working in the marketplace, I see a massive chasm because so much has changed in the last 20 years. Media has changed, content has changed, people's expectations have changed. Yet, marketing strategy as a discipline still lives by the principles and frameworks that were actually developed in the 50s and 60s and 80s.
Mm. Some might say the fundamentals still matter. They're still relevant.
A lot of the fundamentals are actually not that relevant.
Okay, really? Give us some examples.
So a very good example would be, for instance, Strategy 101 starts from Michael Porter's Five Forces model.
Ah, yes.
You know, now, if you really look at last 20 years and how all the established incumbents have been disrupted, it is difficult to imagine that a taxi industry player could have looked at Porter's Five Forces model and been able to anticipate that the threat is going to come from an app.
Yeah. Mm.
It's difficult to imagine that restaurant industry, the entire margin pool, will get sucked out by an AI mix and match application, right? Mm, mm. So clearly, the dimensions on which competitive threat moves now, the dimensions around which organizations can entrench their competencies and develop leverage are different. And the book actually suggests four competitive forces: UX power, data power, network power, and brand power.
But before we get to talking about those four factors, let's bear in mind that certain other things still remain the same, right? For example, knowing your customer, knowing your audience on digital media, where you should go to reach them, how you should reach them, those fundamentals still apply. I find that some people have forgotten those fundamentals as well. They just want to be on the hottest new digital platform, not realizing that, you know, their largest pool of customers may not be there.
Clearly, not all the fundamentals have changed. The more things change, you realize in certain ways they remain the same. Empathy is the God particle of society. And customer empathy is the God particle of businesses. And marketing is the owner, custodian of that customer empathy. And that essence has not changed.
So how do you reconcile then the four factors that you were talking about, which sounded very technical to me, plus the human factor in all of this to appeal to humans? Because after hearing you talk about the UX factor and all these, it sounded so foreign it sounds foreign to many people, especially marketers, I think.
So what's the human angle? I think that's the question, right?
Yeah.
So here is the thing. More and more, brands are designed around data-driven experiences because more and more of our living is mediated living rather than situated living, right? Especially the pandemic has really accelerated that process. We live more and more through media, right? Clearly, that kind of living, the complexity it creates, needs data to underlie the fabric of our day-to-day human experience. And that is why even brands of the future increasingly made by data-driven experiences. So I think, in a certain way, human experience continues to be at the heart. And I mean, what better way to express it than the word empathy, right? That continues to be at the heart.
And but knowing your customer,
brands can
audience.
Meet expectations on human experiences is by leveraging these four competitive powers.
I do hear brands talking about things like UX and data and data-driven insights to inform their marketing decisions. So when you say that they're not really up to date on these things, what are you saying?
It is not, it's not moved to the center of the conception of businesses. And, you know, we talked about UX power and what's the human experience. You know, when my son was 1 year old, you could give him an iPhone and he could find his way through to the his favorite animation inside YouTube. That is the power of an amazing UX.
So that's what Steve Jobs said. The iPhone, the iPad is very intuitive that you can give it to a child and they can.
That's human experience. It's UX that is human, very, very human.
Right. So I think if we put it in more human terms, more people would be able to relate to it. I mean, aside from the CMOs, you also need everyone in that business, in that company, to be able to relate to it.
Relate to it, yeah. And organizations to be designed around that. I mean, we still have companies which have like digital roles and then they have analog roles. I don't know what they call it these days. I mean, these lines only exist in our org charts, in our conference rooms. These don't exist in people's lives anymore.
What examples have you seen that make you say companies are not up to scratch yet on all of these concepts?
A very simple thing is that still, I mean, 80 to 90% of the way the budgets are spent, let's say marketing investments, are either spent not around data-driven experience or they are spent in a schizophrenic way, where one is trying to force fit the way things used to be in the old world, and then they also do some new things, but these are not coming together in ways that are reconceived from a white sheet.
Right. So not integrated.
Not integrated as seamlessly, as organically as it should be, because we are trying to fit the future into the containers of the past. We are band-aiding the past to fit the future rather than reconceive it from a white sheet.
So exactly what some marketers are doing using, well, assets that they develop for analog marketing, and then they say we have to do it digital and just force feeding it to social media just like that without understanding who they're
the innate characteristics, the strengths and weaknesses of different. I mean, just look at video, audiovisual material. In the mediated living part, we see a whole spectrum of, right from the 6 second formats to the Netflix binge that can go on for 12 hours, for instance. So we have the hook formats, we have the dwell formats, and then we have the dive formats, right? Clearly, that is a whole different spectrum of choices than what we used to know.
So give us an example of an effective way of doing this then.
Well, some of the best examples actually live in the great contemporary brands of the day. I think the way Apple has put UX, UI right at the heart of everything that they do, the way Google has extended data and the power of AI into categories that nobody would have earlier imagined Google had a right to play in. For instance, I mean, they're getting into health tech now. Microsoft has just bought, I think last year, one of the largest health tech platforms, Nuance, for $29 billion. They are getting into, they acquired Activision to get a strong metaverse play. Now, if you think about the synergies, the traditional way of looking at synergies, you don't see any synergy with the cloud business or with the operating systems business. But the moment you start looking at competencies in the language of the four powers I spoke about, suddenly you see it all fitting in very, very closely together.
So we mentioned UX and data. What about the
network
other
and brand?
Okay. Could you expand on that a little? Because I'm guessing that currently the CMOs understand these terms differently than they should.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So for instance, a very good example would be Apple Cars. You know, there have been rumors about Apple entering the car segment. The truth is, if today Apple announced that they're going to launch their car in a year or so, and they're taking pre-bookings, they're probably going to see a million bookings, probably. Now, what right to play, if you see it from a traditional lens, does Apple have in the cars business? But the truth is, the reason why people would book, because they love the iPhone user experience, they love the iPad user experience, and they can see it being seamlessly extended into the automotive experience that they are going to experience. They love the the aesthetics of the device. They expect it to be reflected in the car they drive, right? Or the brand power. So you see how it's being leveraged. These powers are being leveraged into categories that, traditionally speaking, have nothing to do with what Apple does today.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, Facebook is planning to launch a VR headset. And now they acquired Oculus, but if you look at synergies with the traditional business of Facebook, you really have to expand the definition of what they do in order to believe that they have a right to play. But if you look at things like UX and data power and so on, then you know that these are extremely important leverage that they have in the area.
But aren't consumers a lot smarter now to recognize all these different things and to make decisions for themselves, not just follow because I have an iPhone, I would have a Mac and I would have an Apple car if that comes.
That's why the marketers need to be even smarter, right?
Even smarter, yeah. And put data-driven correct. Experiences at the center of their brand building.
Mm.
You have to deliver on your promises too, of course, as usual, right? But the thing is, as we move forward, a lot of people are talking about the fact that we are going to be living in a cookie-less world very soon. That's going to be a challenge for marketers. Of course, Web 3.0, when we talk about decentralization, token-based economies, openness, greater user utility, all of this seems to be very good for the consumer. But what challenges does this pose for marketers as we move forward?
So if you really look at the grain of what Web 3.0 is, and it gets misused in many contexts, it is about who owns the data, who controls the data, who gets to monetize the data, right?
Mm.
And the whole agenda, it's a techno-political agenda, is to put the power back into the hands of the lay people, right? Ordinary people. Mm. Now, if you see it from the marketer's lens then, clearly the compulsion to establish a meaningful value exchange between the customer value that brands offer, or businesses offer, and the data that consumers share, that value exchange has to be a very fair exchange. And one would argue that today that exchange is not as fair.
Yeah. As we move towards more ethical marketing, some would say, how do you still make sure it is personalized and it's serving its purpose?
So that is the tricky balance that must be made. If you look at a lot of the Industry 4.0 technologies, whether it's blockchain, whether it's AI, whether it's extended reality technologies, whether it's IoT, they are all premised on that meaningful value exchange between data and customer value, right? So, of course, we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So when we talk about Web 3.0 paradigms, it is important to leave sufficient space for these new technologies to make our lives much simpler.
Okay, so knowing what we've known now after the COVID-19 pandemic of the last 2 years, how do we move forward? How do marketers move forward?
Take classes. I need to start from the beginning.
This experience from COVID-19 would soon change, as we were talking about how fast things change.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I
we
think
would
you put
forget
it,
COVID-19.
And
next
relearn.
Year.
So the thing is, I think they need to reconceive their marketing approach from a white sheet. CMOs need to learn to work with CTOs in a completely interoperable way, and vice versa. And number three, I would say that the biggest quality that a marketing leader can have in these rapidly changing times is ability to deal with uncertainties. So I would say that all marketing leaders need to start thinking like venture capitalists. Because they are effectively managing a portfolio of risks in these uncertain times when they are trying to manage their marketing allocations, right?
Okay.
So that is an important change in perspective about how marketers need to conduct themselves. And of course, the education for it needs to go to the CFOs, to the CEOs, so that CMOs get that space to take those risks.
Right. So everyone needs to work in an integrated fashion if you want to deliver an integrated solution as well. Thank you very much, Prashant. Prashant Kumar, founder and senior partner at Entropia, part of Accenture Interactive and author of Made in Future. Thanks for joining us on Prime
Time. Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.